Hello and welcome. This is Andrea Boring, your host of Catholic Women Create, a weekly podcast featuring some insanely talented Catholic women who are creating gorgeous goods and sharing essential products and services designed to enhance your faith, your family, your home, or your business. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of Catholic Women Create. That was a fun little rhyme, wasn't it? I'm Andrea Boring, your host, and as always, I'm thrilled to be here with you today. It is the second week of January now. We're getting ready to come across a holiday weekend, and already 2017 is flying by. I feel like yesterday was just January 1st, and I was on Facebook complaining about fireworks. Because is it just me, or are fireworks in January infinitely more popular than they are in July? And I just don't understand it. And as a mother of 5 little kids, I go to bed at 7 o'clock p.m., even on New Year's Eve. Those fireworks were the bane of my existence. So here we are, 2 weeks in almost to the new year, and I'm thrilled today to bring you a wonderful guest by the name of Elisa McCarthy. Her business is called Songjai, and she has a beautiful story and some beautiful products. And actually, she was quite an inspiration to me over the past week or two, because I have been learning a new hobby, and everyone who knows me just laughs, because for someone whose brain never stops, and for someone who already has way too much going on, probably, than is healthy, a new hobby, everyone was just like, I got the biggest eye rolls in the whole wide world. But Elisa, I kept going back to one of the things that she and I had talked about initially, and that is when you get creative, you just kind of go with it, and that's what I've done. So anyhow, Elisa has quite a wide selection of items in her shop, and it's kind of like me. You know, we're all such multifaceted and multi-talented women. And sometimes when the creativity or the inspiration strikes, you just got to go with it. So several weeks ago, one of my best friends, Danielle, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's a 40-year-old mom of 3. And I got online and I wanted to purchase her a Saint Peregrine rosary. And so I Googled, and I like my rosaries blingy. I like them shiny and pretty. The rosary that I found that I loved and that I was going to purchase for her, I had to take a big old gulp when I saw the price tag that was well over $100. And unfortunately, in my budget this month, I don't have $100 to spend on a rosary. And so I've actually always been drawn to pretty beads and jewelry, you know, jewelry making materials. Whenever I go into Hobby Lobby, I'm always like, you know, taking my little cart and looking around for inspiration and looking at pretty signs and fonts and sayings and Bible verses. And I always find myself pausing right by the jewelry aisle, and I'll go down it and I'll think, well, it'd be kind of cool to make rosaries. But then I'm like, no, don't have time. It's too expensive. Can't do it. And so I saw the price tag on this $100 rosary, and I was just like, oh man. So I got online and I got on Etsy and I found somebody that sold St. Peregrine medals, because those are a little bit tougher to come by, surprisingly enough. St. Peregrine, for those of you who don't know, is the patron saint of cancer patients. So I found myself some St. Peregrine medals, rosary centers, and some crucifixes. And I got online again, and I looked for some beads. And I'm the kind of person that needs the to see like the beads. So I tried to pick some beads out from some different shops and I just couldn't do it. So I went over to Hobby Lobby and I looked around and I was like, oh, I don't know yet. So then I went to Walmart and I looked at their beads and I went to Michael's and looked at their beads. And I decided just to go ahead and wait until my medals got here before I went and bought any beads. So my medals and my crucifixes arrived and I went to the bead shop in the mall. Actually, was the first place I went because I didn't know what I was doing. So I'm like, I need a professional who's going to tell me what kind of stuff I need to buy for this. And so she was fantastic. I took all five kids on New Year's Eve. Crazy. And picked up some materials and some things for my first rosaries and started watching YouTube videos and just started making rosaries. And I have found it to be incredibly cathartic, incredibly relaxing, very prayerful and meditative, almost just like praying the rosary itself. One of the reasons I've always had troubles praying the rosary is because I feel my hands need to be doing something. I was actually a smoker for years. And one of the reasons that I was a smoker is my hands always just need to be busy. And I'm sure there's probably some sort of crazy disorder out there about that. But my hands just always have to move. And I'm a nail biter too. It's just, I've got all sorts of anxious habits floating around. But I started putting together these rosaries and it has been awesome. And I have made already about 10 or 12 rosaries and several of them are St. Peregrine. I only ordered 5 St. Peregrine medals and I called our local Catholic bookstore and she's going to order me some more and give me a bulk rate discount. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give these away. I'm not going to sell them. It's not going to be a new business. It's going to be pretty blingy rosaries. Maybe I'll make a website for it. Pretty blingy rosaries for cancer patients. I've also been toying with the idea of making rosaries for NICU moms because I am a NICU mom twice removed, two times now for long periods of time. First time was for 71 days with my first set of twins in 2008. And the second NICU journey lasted 53 days in March and April of this year. And I found a lot of comfort in my rosary beads during that time. And I thought, too, what a better way to evangelize, because that's usually when people go back to their faith, is during traumatic times. And so trying to work out the logistics of how to get these rosaries into the hands of NICU moms is something I'm also trying to figure out how to do in the middle of all my business stuff and podcasting stuff and working on a book stuff. But I just need to stay busy. That's just how I operate. And I just don't stay still. My kids don't sleep, so I'm up half the night anyway. And this is just the season of life that I'm in, where I want to stay busy. And the boys, my older boys, are getting so into this rosary making thing. They're getting confirmed and having their first communion this year. So we're getting their medals, their rosary centers for their confirmation saints, and they're going to make their rosaries, and they're even asking their classmates what kind of rosaries they want, because they're going to make their classmates rosaries too. So I think it's going to be really fun. But the whole point of that is that Elisa, who's coming up here shortly, her shop is full of so many different beautiful things. And I know so many people and so many quote unquote experts say, you know, pick one thing, pick the one thing you're good at and pick your niche. And we'll talk about that actually a little bit later today. Pick your niche and go and focus on one thing, and that's how you're going to be successful. And Elisa is a prime example of how she has such a wide variety of items, and it fuels her soul and it makes her happy. And that's what your business needs to do. It needs to make you happy, and things that inspire you and keep you going and really, really, really make your spirit happy and close and one with God is what your business should do. And even not your business, even if it's a hobby, like what I'm doing right now with my rosaries, I mean, I feel closer to the Lord during this time than I have for quite some time. And And even though I'm not going to be monetizing it, or don't have any plans to monetize this, it's something that I really truly enjoy, and it's creative and it's fun, and I get to make pretty blingy rosaries. So hey, so anyhow, all that being said, I'm so excited to welcome Elisa with us here in just a moment, and later on we're going to be talking about part 3, I think we're at, for how to start your business. And today we're going to be talking, after our interview with Elisa, all about branding, specifically who your ideal client is. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
This is Andrea Boring, your host here. And today we have the lovely and talented Elisa McCarthy with us. She has a business called Song Jai. I'm sorry, I said it wrong again, even though we talked about this, didn't I?
No, it was right.
Oh, okay. Good grief. I tell you what, my brain. And she also has a blog that, if we have time, we'll talk about as well. And I'm so, so grateful she is here with us. When we first lined up this interview, she said, I'm a little worried. I'm due to have my baby on November 14th, right?
October 17th.
Oh, it was October 17th. Okay, I was thinking it was November 14th for some reason, and I was like, oh my goodness, she had the baby early. So you have a brand new baby. Tell us all about the baby.
I do. His name is Oliver, and he'll be 3 weeks this week. He was born on November 12th, and we're just all so in love with him.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Now, is he your first, second, third? What do we have here?
He is our third little baby here on Earth with us.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, and so how are you adjusting?
It's a little rough. My mommy went home yesterday, and so this is my first day all alone.
Oh, and here you are in the middle of a podcast interview, and I'm giving you major props, Mom. Good work. Good work. So how are you feeling?
I'm doing much better. I had to have a C-section, so that always takes a little longer to recover than normal, but I think everything's going good, and I thank God that, you know, I can function as best I can.
Yeah, was it your first C-section?
No, my third.
Oh, it was your third? Yeah, I just had my third C-section too in March, so it's definitely a process, but I feel like it got a little easier. Did you feel that way?
It always seems a little easier because you know what to expect or what to do better the next time to help.
Yeah, right.
So in that way, I think it's easier.
Yeah, it's, I had, my first C-section was my preemie. I had preemie twins. They were 28 weeks, and then my daughter was 35 weeks, and so she came home with me. And then my last set of twins, they were 28 weeks as well, and so they stayed at the hospital also for several months. But the second, my little girl, my second one, she was the only one that I had to like actually take care of while I was recovering from a C-section, and it's a lot harder to do that. So
it's a little rough.
It's just an experience I only had the one time since I had all my other babies early. And so yeah, I will keep you and your recovery in my prayers for sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So tell me a little bit, tell me about yourself. Give us a little bit of history. Where are you from? Where you grew up? A little bit about your family.
I was born in Thailand, and that's why the name of my shop is a little interesting. My sister and I, we grew up loving to do things and be creative, and we spent a good part of our childhood in Thailand, then we came back to the States, and we loved making rosaries, so we decided to open up a little shop, and we call it Song Jai because in Thai, song means two, and Jai is heart.
Beautiful.
We wanted it to be dedicated to the hearts of Jesus and Mary, and also because there were two of us, so we thought it kind of cool. And she did the logo design for us with a little red heart and a blue heart for Jesus and Mary. And I love how, I don't know if you go to the Etsy page, you can see the logo. Mm-hmm. The red heart kind of pokes into the blue heart. So it's like Jesus, this pain and suffering piercing Our Lady's heart. So the logo has a lot of meaning for us. And I just love it. And I thank my sister for making it.
It's gorgeous, and I love the colors. It's a very, very... I'm a graphic designer, so I absolutely love the logo. I think you all did a great job. She did a great job. So, awesome.
She's awesome. And so, we settled in Oregon about, mid-90s. We moved to Oregon, and my dad retired there, and I stayed there, and I met my husband there. It's kind of funny, because we went to the same church for years, and we never met each other all until we were out of high school and in college. We went on a YMI young adult retreat, and I noticed this guy there, and I told my sister, I was like, hey, he goes to church with us, and I made her go talk to him for me because I was too shy, and the rest is history.
Oh, that's awesome. So how old were you when you met him?
22, 23.
Oh, that's so amazing. So how long did you date before you got married?
A little less than 2 years. I think everything, we started a young adult group at church, and then I was like, well, I had this moment in adoration where I was like, Jesus, I'm just going to be single and devote my time to you, whatever you want me to do. And then like, I went to dinner with him and some other friends, and he brought me flowers, and I was so upset because I just finished telling God I was content and happy being single. And I was really angry. I was upset. I was like, this is so not fair.
Oh, the Lord is so funny, isn't he?
It was part of my plan.
Isn't it so funny how God's plan just always seems to supersede ours? I mean, I just don't get it.
Yes. But it's okay. I like the way his plans work out better than mine, so.
Amen, sister. That's for sure. Even though it might not always be the best while you're going through it, at the end, it's always for him, right?
Yes, it is. So we were really involved with the church, and so we decided to get married and try and do everything right. And it felt like it was a beautiful witness to our family and friends, to just follow Jesus. And it was hard. It's really hard to follow God's plan in this world today, because everything comes against you. Mm-hmm. Because if you try to be different, it's not how the world does things. So, I think it was a blessing, and we definitely received grace to stick to a plan that God would approve of.
Oh, that's awesome. So how many years have you been married?
We just celebrated our 10th anniversary this year. So that was pretty exciting. We did nothing because I was extremely uncomfortable and very pregnant. So we just went to dinner. It was nice.
Where did you go for dinner? Do you have a favorite restaurant? Where do you live?
We live in a very rural little town called Lakeview, and there's about 2,000 people here, so there aren't a lot of dining options. We started out to go to a really nice restaurant, but we ended up leaving because I wasn't feeling like eating anything on the menu.
All right.
We ended up going to a little, one of our favorite little restaurants. Okay. So it was nothing fancy, but good food that didn't disagree with me.
Oh, well, that's good. That's always a plus, right? Mm-hmm. So you have little Oliver, and do you have any other children here on Earth?
Yes, I have Caitlin. She is 8. She's our oldest. And then we have Lillian, who is 4. And then we have Oliver. And all of our little babies, they're preceded by babies in heaven. So it's been kind of a struggle for us. Hasn't been easy, because I have to do progesterone injections throughout my pregnancies. Mm. And it seems like, you know, whatever God sends you, blessings or struggles, they all help you grow. Mm-hmm. That just happens to be a huge struggle for us, is because it's not easy to conceive and carry children. Mm-mm. And I think that's a lot of people's struggle in the world today. So it is what it is. And we're very grateful for the blessings that we do have.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, it's we had a big gap in between our oldest and our daughter, by choice, because I had been away from the church. And, you know, I often look back at that time, the 6 years, and think about the children that we could have had. And it's definitely one of those things, you just have to trust in Him no matter what, right?
Yes.
No matter what. So, so tell me a little bit about your faith. You talked about it briefly. Do you have any kind of pivotal moments, other than, you know, around the time that you met your husband, that you can think of, as far as your Catholic faith is concerned?
Well, we were raised Catholic. My mom's a convert. So we were baptized later, like around 3 and 4, my sister and I. And so my mom loves Jesus, and she loves the faith. She didn't, because she wasn't a cradle Catholic, she kind of skipped around a few things that were maybe a little bit uncomfortable for her mm-hmm. Protestant background, like Our Lady and some of, I never learned how to pray the rosary, but I really learned how to love Jesus. I think that's the most important thing. I love Our Lady and I have a deep devotion to her and faith, but that's something I found on my own when I was a teenager. It's because that wasn't something that my mom really connected with. Mm-hmm. But she did a phenomenal job about teaching us the love of Christ and how to be a kind, good person. And so we kind of found a deepening of our faith in high school. And then around the time I met my husband, I kind of had a few struggles with navigating how to live in this world, I'd say. And so I had this kind of rekindling of my faith in my early 20s. Actually at that retreat that I met my husband at. And so it was really special because I think we kind of started off on this journey of rediscovering our faith together in a way that was our own when we were on our feet without our parents hovering over us, making decisions for us, like you have to be confirmed, etc. So, I think it was really special because we started to grow together at the same time. And so we were reading the same books together. And no, I think it was really special because we got to grow in our faith mm-hmm. time. So we have a lot of the same experiences to our foundation.
And that's so important. We're kind of, you know, my husband and I are kind of finding our way. He's a convert. He just converted in 2015. So he's about a year and a half into it.
And oh, how exciting.
Yeah, it was an amazing, I'm sure you can imagine. I mean, the blessings were just, I still can't believe it happened, really. Even, you know, a year and a half later. But, you know, trying to find that foundation, it's definitely something that we have to work at. And, just because we both came from two totally different places. I was a revert and he was a convert, and you know, trying to find that good place, you know, is definitely a challenge. A good challenge, but definitely a challenge. So to hear you speak so candidly about, you know, the foundation and that's really, really, really amazing. Thank you. Okay, so let's move into a little bit about your business. And your business surrounds your faith. It surrounds our beautiful Catholic faith.
It does, and that's what I love about it. I know that's a question for later on, but
that's fine. You just go, girl.
I really enjoy I love my faith a lot, and I enjoy finding ways to help people share it through my artwork and creations. That's one of my favorite things to do.
So you have Song Jai is the name of your business.
Yes.
And tell everyone what they'll find if they go to your Etsy shop. What do you have there?
I have a little bit of everything there. I know people say you need to focus. I can't focus. I get so many great ideas, and they really kind of wanted it to be an all, like a one-stop Catholic shop where you could find rosaries and crucifixes and things for kids. Occasionally, I hand paint on glass, so I'll paint holy water bottles.
Ooh.
And I've tried different things. Some things don't go over as well, even though I think they might be a fantastic idea. Most of the things are popular. My sister and I love to make jewelry, so I make
Are you there?
Just a little bit of everything. Some things for kids, some things for guys. Occasionally we like to find and rescue old antique Catholic items. So we'll have old books or old things that we feel need to be appreciated and loved by Catholics rather than just bought for decoration. So we rescue them.
Like, give me an example. Like, what have you rescued?
Some statues and holy water fonts, things I see, like rosaries or crucifixes in antique shops where people just are buying them for displaying or decoration. I always try.
Hold on, Elisa.
Homes where Elisa, I know they'll be.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I just I lost
yes.
just
can you
first.
Hear me?
I can now. Okay, we're going to take a quick pause. Okay. So, I lost you. If you could start talking about antique shops, finding them in antique shops again. I lost you right there.
Oh, okay. So, we like to rescue things from antique shops like statues and crucifixes and rosaries. And medals when we see them and give them good homes where we know they'll be cherished.
Do you ever go, I just started looking at Goodwill for stuff like that. Do you ever find anything at like Goodwill or Salvation Army or any of those kinds of places, like thrift stores?
Yeah, we look there too. Everywhere I go, I always look. That's the first thing I look for is to see if there's something, something that needs a good home.
That's awesome. I found a really awesome statue of Our Lady at a Goodwill once. And I have it sitting in my house now. It's something that, you know, you just wonder the history, like how did it end up there? Why did it end up there? We're going to pray for the people that put the statue there.
Yeah. I have a story on my blog about a statue that we rescued from an antique store, and it's really quite special. I restored it and painted it, and it kind of has become the centerpiece of my blog. It's on the cover of it, and so it's a long story, so I won't go into it, but it's up there somewhere buried.
Okay, well I'll find it and I'll put it in the show notes so people can find it. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Okay. So how did you guys get started? I know you mentioned a little bit about your sister. How did this business start? Tell us a little bit about
that. We always love to make rosaries for people, and we made a lot of them. And then my sister got really sick, and for years she's been quite ill. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. She's gone through lots of surgeries, and then they finally found out she has chronic Lyme disease on top problems, and we thought, well, we'll just open up a little Etsy shop and see if we can sell some rosaries to help her out a little bit. And that's how we got started. So we just started it, and then I started making more things. She kind of had to deal with more medical stuff, and she's doing better now, and she has she's kind of coping with everything and moving on with her life, so she has an exciting new job and stuff, she doesn't have a whole lot of time to make groceries right now, so not a bunch of her stuff is up. But I found that it was a really neat creative outlet for me as a mom who wanted to stay home with her kids. I homeschool too, so working outside the home is not something we wanted to do when we got married, because we talked about how I wanted to be here for our children if God blessed us with them. So finding a way to bring in a little extra on the side without disrupting my primary role as mama and wife was really something that I wanted to focus on. And so this little shop gave me that opportunity to be creative and have a little extra income too.
And you've done really well. You've only been on, it says on Etsy since about 2013. So has it been around 3 years?
Yes, about 3 years.
Yeah, and your reviews are fantastic and you have all kinds of things. So what are some of your biggest sellers, would you say?
I'd say a big seller are the religious jewelry. I make a necklace that has a crucifix and a miraculous medal on it, and it hangs so that you can see both the medal and the crucifix, which before I would just stick my miraculous medal with my crucifix on my necklace, and they kind of compete for attention. And my sister worked at a jewelry store, and she had a jeweler solder a necklace for her how she liked it. And then I thought, well, we could make those. And I wire wrap them. I don't do any soldering. And so that's one thing that's really popular. Another thing are the children's rosaries. I don't make the silicone ones that you can chew on, but the large children's rosaries that I make are with beads that are kind of like that. They're coated with the silicone, so they have that rubbery feel to them with the bright colors. But I'm not really a fan of encouraging children to chew on rosaries. I don't know. It always kind of like makes me cringe. So I kind of have this little disclaimer that they're supposed to be. You can't help a baby from chewing on something, but I don't want to give it to them to chew on. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But I think it's important for little kids to have things that encourage their faith and encourage them to pray. I know I did it for my kids because I wanted them to have fun, engaging tools to help them connect to our faith. So that's how that started, and they're pretty popular. And go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm not making them right now, but I probably will. Is I make rosary hangers, and they're a little time-consuming, but I went to school and majored in art history, and so I love the rich old world master paintings, and I use those in my rosary hangers. They're kind of like a rose window, and then they're circular, so they fit about 5 to 7 rosaries on hooks, and I really enjoy making those. It just takes a lot of time, so I haven't put them up in the shop yet because I don't have any more made right now.
That sounds awesome. I've never, right now all my rosaries are just in a drawer. I would totally be interested in a rosary hanger. Oh my goodness, it sounds gorgeous. What are some of your, so I'm a digital artist. I'm a website designer and graphic designer. And I kind of go through like ebbs and flows of like what I like to work on at particular times, right? Creatively. That's how my brain works. Is it like that for you? Since you have such a wide variety of things.
I totally get tired of making one thing and go on to something else. Or I get an idea. I see something and I'm like, I want to do that. Or, sometimes you just don't feel like working on something. I definitely have those ebbs and flows in what I like to do. I illustrate all the children's printables that I have. And so I kind of get in an addiction to making those cute little saint printables, and then I go through phases where I don't want to sit down at the computer, or I can't, especially with a new baby. It's kind of hard to sit there and hold the baby and work.
I hear you, sister. I got 2 8-month-olds. I definitely know how that one works for sure. What how do you make your printables? Do you make those using what program do you use to make those?
I use a program that's similar to Photoshop. It's mm-hmm. not the same thing, but it's I don't know what the name of it is right now. I think it's Craft Iris. It's a British program, and I can do most of the things I would do in Photoshop with it. So I just illustrate piece by piece all my little saints like I would in Illustrator. It's kind of a combination between Illustrator and Photoshop. It's interesting. Okay. And it was less expensive than Photoshop. And I'm just a PC user. I'm not a Mac person. My sister
Me
is.
Me too. I hate Apple products. Sorry, I'm sure I'm alienating a million people right now, but no and to Apple.
This works really well for me because I'm comfortable with it. So that's what I do.
Awesome. What inspires new products? So how do you said you get a new idea. What do you do when you get a new idea? Do you just, does it just come to you?
I usually sketch it out. I'm a very visual person. I like to have my pen and paper with me, and I like to sketch things out. So I will sketch out my design for a new necklace or try and see how it would look. Sometimes I even go to the computer and digitally lay it all out just so I can see it in color. And that's my first thing that I do if I see something, where I'll be trying to stock up on inventory and I'll see something that catches my eye and think, well, I could make a keychain with that or do something. Some of my ideas haven't panned out, so I really tried to dial it back and tone down my enthusiasm and not buy 200 of one thing thinking that everyone else is going to love it too, because I've done that and I've gotten a little burned because I order all these supplies and then maybe one or two items sell and then I'm stuck with all of this supplies and no one to buy them.
I hear you.
Okay. They make wonderful gifts for people.
Right?
I'm sure people get tired of handmade by Elisa gifts at Christmas time, but
nah.
Oh well.
They'll keep them forever. It'll turn into a family heirloom. There you go. What is the what's the favorite part of your business? What's your favorite thing to do?
I think making rosaries is my favorite thing to do, because whenever I make a rosary, I always pray for whoever's going to receive it and use it. And it's kind of a peaceful time for me. So I definitely say making the rosaries is my favorite.
What would you say on the other side would be one of your most challenging aspects of the business, of your business?
Keeping inventory in my store. 'Cause I'll get to making things and then sometimes it's hard to keep those same items stocked. Like the rosary hangers, they're beautiful and I love them, but I don't like making them just because of all the steps involved. You have to paint the wood and then you have to paint the picture and then you have to glue the picture and seal it. And there's so many steps to it that it doesn't come together super fast, which I'm a type of person that loves instant results. It's hard for me when a project takes a couple of days to get through, because then I my motivation kind of slows down a little bit. If I can, the things I love to make most are the things that don't take a lot of time and that I can get done in one or two sittings, because then I feel like I accomplished something.
I am an instant gratification kind of person too. It's And it's hard now with babies because I have pockets of time, which I'm sure you will, you know, you do too. And it's like, you only have like 30 minutes and it's like, what can you get done in 30 minutes? You can't complete a project really, generally speaking. And, so yeah.
No, you can't. I finished a Saint printable, like all a bingo card for All Saints Day printable, and I put it up and I did it really quickly, and then a customer that bought it called me or wrote me back and said, you know what, the light font I can't see when I print it out, or my kindergartner can't read it. So I spent the last 2 days into the early morning hours when baby was sleeping trying to put a legible font on each one of the little saints on the bingo cards. It took forever because I had 20 different cards, but it's definitely hard to find time to do those things.
Yes, I hear you on that one. It's and something like that, I would imagine, would be incredibly tedious, and you were probably like hitting yourself in the head when you had to go back and redo it. But customer service is excellent, so good for you.
Yes, and that's why, that's one thing I would say, is it's really important to take time to listen to your customers and do what you can do to keep that relationship happy. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. I think that's why I get reviews. It's hard, I think, to get reviews on products. Even I forget to give reviews when I buy things, and I always remember how much I like to have reviews. But I think if you go the extra step and just try your best to make your customers happy, it's really very helpful in the long run.
And you have 90 reviews, and that's fantastic. I mean, I know you've been around for 3 years, but that's still really good. So nice work.
Thank you.
Nice work. So what are some of your best marketing tools or strategies for Songjae, Jai?
Well, I think social media has been one of my best tools. I really didn't start out with much social media. We just kind of put the word out there. If you want a rosary, check out the store or hand out business cards. But once I made a Facebook page for the store and started promoting it, I really didn't want to bombard my friends and family with my shop. So I just kind of kept it quiet. I did a little bit of research about when the best time to post and promote and things. It's really kind of intricate and complicated, but I'd say a lot of my views and sales come from pushing people from Facebook and my blog to the store.
So tell us a little bit about your blog. What will people find on your blog? Is it an extension of Songjae, or is it something
different? I set up the blog first before I set up the store. It was a way to kind of chronicle my art projects, and then when the babies came along, I was hesitant to put my family out there a little bit, and I just did it this year because I'm teaching both the girls now, and so I thought, well, I do some things that will help other parents. So maybe I'll put my neck out there and we'll give it a go and see how it works out. So I've kind of added a little more a personal aspect to it, where before it was just artwork and things. But I love to make coloring pages. So I have a whole page of free coloring pages on my blog, and that's what I think my blog is about, providing insight and resources for people that are free.
That's awesome. So, and your coloring pages are so fantastic. And I printed off, oh goodness, I can't remember which one it was now. I printed one off for my daughter, and she's 2.5. And she was definitely Jesus. That's how she says Jesus.
Oh, how cute.
Jesus.
So I started illustrating the cute little saints, and then I thought, well, I can make these coloring pages too, and my little one loves them. My older one doesn't like them so much. She thinks they're too babyish, and they are geared towards smaller kids, I think, because mm-hmm. they're very cutesy. But I do have some of my older coloring pages are just hand-drawn saints, and my older daughter likes those better because they're more realistic and prettier. She says she doesn't like my fat little saints because she thinks they're just for little kids, but that's okay. There's something for everybody there, and not only coloring pages, but I like to think of games and activities you can do. So for Saint Therese, I made this printable free mobile craft you can print out and cut and paste and put together. So I do things like that, and I try to do one or two new coloring pages or projects a month just so people have resources out there mm-hmm. to use for free. And then I also do promote my shop a little bit on there just because I can, and
sure.
it's a great way to offer something for free, and then if you want more you can check out the shop and buy the full version or something.
Mm-hmm. And you're so talented. I mean, you're just so multifaceted and all the different, I mean, the rosaries are beautiful. The coloring pages are beautiful. You have veils as well. Do you make the veils too?
I do. I don't do that very often. Just every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's so many other veil shops out there. Mm-hmm. That do such a great job. It's not something I really want to get into, but I thought it would be, since I make them for my daughters, I thought it would be nice to just have them there in case somebody, you know, wanted to buy a veil while they were buying a rosary. You never know.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I just am amazed. And it's, you're just so busy. So how do you, okay, everyone always asks me this. How do you do it all? How do you do it all? How do you balance keeping a shop full of amazing things with a family, and especially a newborn? I mean, did you plan for the birth? Like, are you like on a break, or are you still just kind of working when you can work? Well,
I took a little break. And I didn't put my shop completely on hold, but I said I wasn't accepting custom orders mm-hmm. for a little while till I got the hang of new baby and everything, because I thought that would just be overwhelming. And so I may open it back up to a few custom orders before Christmas. I'm not sure yet though, how that's gonna go. He's a really good baby though. He sleeps a lot. So,
lucky.
But during the day, he's kind of fussy at night. So that's hard. I think the hardest part is balancing school and everything. We did a little planning. I made the kids do school throughout summer because I knew baby was coming, and so that we would take a little break when baby got here. Mm-hmm. Instead of having a summer break, we'd have a fall break. So we've kind of been having very light school days, and then because I've just been exhausted, and yeah. It's hard to function when you don't have sleep and a new baby. So we've just kind of been making sure we all get fed and clothed. And that's our goal for the day.
That sounds like a pretty successful day to me.
Yeah, so a lot of the things that are in my shop I already have made, and so they're just stocked and ready to ship out if anybody orders them for right now. So it's not super stressful and complicated for me.
That's awesome. Well, you are quite the inspiration, and I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to talk to you today. Now, I understand that you have brought a gift for our listeners. Is that right?
Yes.
And can you tell us about that?
So I wanted to give a necklace to one of your listeners, and I was trying to think, they can choose one from the shop, or I can help them make something unique just for them. The choice is there, except for not the sterling silver necklaces, but all the other ones. So they can have their choice of picking something out, or I can
Wow, that is so awesome. Something custom. Well, that is so special. Well, thank you. That is amazing. Can you tell us where to find you?
You can find us on Etsy at www.etsy.com/shop/songjai. I know it's a mouthful.
And that's okay. We'll have all the links to everything on our show notes for the day. So anyone that's listening, they can find all that, all of your points of contact through there too. So you're on Facebook as well?
Yes.
And
so that's
just
Facebook/Songjai.
Got it. And Songjai, in case those of you are interested in learning how to spell that, it's SongJai. And that is how you spell Songjai. Songjai. I'm still saying it wrong. Good grief.
Oh, that's okay.
Are you on Instagram too?
I am, but I really haven't figured out Instagram. I'm just on as myself. Okay. And it's kind of a mixture of me, my life, my blog, and my store. So it's a bit rough right now.
Yeah, well, your life is crazy right now, I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm sure. Well, thank you so much, Alisa, for joining us today. It was my pleasure to talk with you and to learn more about you, your love of the Lord, and your business. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a delight to talk to you.
The delight was all mine, for sure. And you have a great day.
You too. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit redboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Catholic Women Create. This is Andrea Boring, your host, and we just wrapped up a wonderful interview with Alisa McCarthy of Songjai. She was absolutely delightful, and I really, really enjoyed getting to know her and learning more about her business and her products. Don't forget to check out CatholicWomenCreate.com to enter the giveaway to her shop when you're finished listening to the episode today. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking today about your ideal client avatar. So this series of how to start your business, step one was the brain dump. It was just go ahead and make a list of everything you need to do. Get it all down on paper. And doesn't matter what order it's in, doesn't matter what it is, just get it all down and get it all out of your brain. And step two, we're going to start organizing it. And that goes into the who, the what, the where, and the how. And that's in episode two that we discussed. I'm sorry, that's in the last episode, episode seven, that we discussed that. And today, we're going to get more in depth with that particular plan, and we're going to talk about the who. We're going to talk about your ideal client. And this has two parts. Today, we're just going to talk about the ideal client, and next week, we're going to talk about the visual aspect of branding. So once we know who our ideal client is, next week we're going to talk about building a brand around that client and a brand that caters to that particular client. So when you're talking about your ideal client and you're trying to determine who that person is, there's one exercise I want you to do. And that is, I want you to picture in your mind a person you know in real life who would purchase your product or service in a heartbeat without even having to think about it. And then I want you to write down every single thing you know about that person. I want to know the demographics, right? Obviously. So most likely your person is going to be a female because this show is called Catholic Women Create. Your person is going to whatever other demographical information you want to include on or about this person. So this person you're picturing in your mind, she could be your best friend, she could be your neighbor, she could be your coworker. You just want to write down everything you know about her. So you want to write down all of her demographical information. So her sex, her marital status, how many kids she has, where does she work, her income, estimated income level, what kind of car she drives, what kind of home she lives in, what kind of clothes she wears, where does she shop, where does she go out to eat, what does she like to read, where does she go for fun, what does she enjoy most about life, what does she enjoy least about life, what does she enjoy most about her job, what does she enjoy least about her job, what kinds of stores does she specifically go to for shoes, what kind of stores does she go to for handbags, does she buy her makeup at Walmart or does she buy her makeup at Dillard's, or does she buy her makeup through a direct salesperson? These are kinds of questions that you want to ask so that you can really get inside the head of your ideal client. And the reason you want to do that is because all the rest of the questions that we ask all need to be geared towards this person. Towards this person who's not fictional. She's a real person. She's someone you really know. And so that's my first tip, my first exercise that I want you to do. And I mean, this should not just be like a quick 3-sentence paragraph. This should be at least a full page, if not a 2-page document of everything that you know about this person. And it's so important to get inside the mind of your ideal client, because again, everything that you do with your business is geared towards this person. And how best are you going to sell your product to this person? How are you going to package your product or service? How are you going to market it? How are you going to promote it? Everything that you do with your business is geared around this person. And that's why it's so important to really, really, truly understand who she is, what drives her, what motivates her, in order for you to better understand how to serve her. So that's my little tip for today. It's the who part of our little strategy. And next week we'll talk more about the visual aspect of branding and how, once you know who your client is, how you build a brand around her and that speaks to her. So thank you all so much for joining us today. Thank you so much to Elisa. Be sure to head over to CatholicWomenCreate.com, enter the giveaway, and don't forget to sign up for our email list. I'm not very good at email newsletter sending, but I'm going to try to get better. It's one of my New Year's resolutions. So it was so wonderful to have you all with us today, and I hope you have a very blessed week. Bye-bye.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.